on LBRocks.com.
And now back to whatever crap you're listening to.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
And welcome back to another exciting edition of Subject to Discussion live in LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me a wrestling fan and do not call me late for dinner. And if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's Subject to Discussion time again live in LVRocks. I like that new music there. I got another threatening email from Paramount, so I had to come up with something else. But I'll have to ask them if it's the old, I was using the old Star Trek stuff, or is it the Patriot stuff? Because the Patriot theme music is also owned by Paramount, so I'll find out. And that's pretty cool, though. A little different. That was the old SmackDown theme. It looks like the Democrats want to lay a SmackDown on the GOP Congress, and then we want to lay a SmackDown on President Bush. Absolutely. So, and that was the Centurion in charge, Mr. Con Solar. Thank you very much. And the program is podcasted as well. Well, I didn't hear the Cylons, but I'll imagine I heard them.
There we are.
A little technical glitches here tonight, but that's all right. And some jackass from the over the weekend screwed something up here at the studio, but that's all right. And the program is podcasted also on LVRocks.com. Thank you very much, everybody, podcasting the program. And the program is also part of the antiradio.net podcast, as well as Meeker Broadcasting, which you can hear the program on tape delay at Saturdays and Sundays at 7 a.m. And after the news to me and the news to you will be Pamela. We're having an almost all-women show tonight. Pamela, she's from the DemocraticDaily.com website. We'll guess what she's going to talk about. But it'll be nice to hear from her and somebody different on the program for a change. And then in the second hour will be Jasmine from PopCultureJunkies.com. And she is also from Chicago, so we have a nice little Chicago discussion, I guess, as well as other things. And then ending the program will be Koenig Rules. He'll be back with his Battlestar Galactica boilers, as well as a Doctor Who review. And now we'll just get into the what was news to me from this past week. We had, of course, the USA Today on the headline says, five keys as to who will win control of Congress, immigration. That's up near gas. I'll give that one to the Democrats. If gas stays over $3 a gallon, I think it's the Democrats are a shoo-in. Medicare, I don't know about that. Iraq, definitely. And corruption scandal could affect midterm races. And what else? States target cigarette fire risks. And also, U.S. disregards Iranian letter. Here is, you know, a chance to actually have some kind of a dialogue with Iran, and they disregard as, you know, trash, basically. The letter is not the place that one would find an opening to engage on the nuclear issue or anything of the sort, says Condoleezza Rice. So, you know, whatever. And then in the life section, I noticed that Whoopi Goldberg is getting her own radio show. And Whoopi Goldberg is going to start, where's that, July 31st. It's called Wake Up with Whoopi. How would you like to wake up next to that every morning? No way. She's going to be on for 4 hours a day in the morning. And also rumors are bouncing around that Stern might be returning to terrestrial radio. So it's going to be interesting to see if that happens or not. So we're all waiting to hear from, so far, I guess his move to satellite wasn't such of a success as he thought of. He's contemplating a return to terrestrial radio. So interesting. And also today we had the America Online announcer laying off about 1,300 employees. AOL is laying off 1,300 employees, or 7% of its worldwide workforce. and is closing its call center in Jacksonville, Florida. And other cuts have come from call centers in Ogden, Utah, as well as Tucson, Arizona. And also the GOP-controlled Congress, remind you, sealed a deal for on the $70 billion tax break extension on capital gains and dividend tax cuts extended to 2010. And also the American means tax, which is now starting to affect the lower the poor and lower middle class. That's going to be extended as well, giving a little bit of a break. And also we had on Monday the 1918 letter claims that Geronimo's bones were found. A Yale University historian discovered a 1918 letter that raises anew questions about a secretive Yale student society and remains of the American Indian leader Geronimo. The letter written by a member of the Skull and Bones to another member of the society purports that some of the Indian leader's remains were spirited from his burial plot in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, to a stone tomb in New Haven that serves as the club's headquarters. A portion letter and accompanying story were posted, blah, blah, blah. And only 15 Yale seniors are asked to join each year. Alumni include President King George, Senator John Kerry, President William Howard Taft, numerous members of Congress, media leaders, Wall Street financiers, scions of wealthy families, and agents of the CIA. And it's interesting. And also Sunday we had the last U.S. survivor of the Titanic sinking dies. Lillian Gertrude Esplund was just 5 years old when she and her family boarded the Titanic in Southampton, England, on their way to Massachusetts. That night in 1912, she lost her father and three brothers, including a fraternal twin, when the practically unsinkable ship went down in the Titanic after hitting an iceberg. So that was amazing. I didn't realize there was anybody left from that ship. And also here in Vegas, we have the Titanic exhibit on display at the Tropicana. It's also considered a Titanic in Las Vegas, soon to go down. This morning, we had the Boardwalk Casino imploded, so that's long gone. Famous for the hobo stew on the Strip. Boardwalk is gone. Saturday, three killed in Florida high-rise collapse. A support frame collapsed at a high-rise construction project Saturday, killing three workers who became trapped in a quick-drying concrete as co-workers dug to try and free them, authorities said. The workers were on the 27th level of the building, pouring its concrete roof when the support frame structure below gave away, dropping them to the 26th floor. A three-foot layer of hardening concrete and completely encased one worker and partially buried the others, fire rescue officials said. The cause of the frame collapse was not immediately determined. And then Friday we had the 10 U.S. soldiers were killed in the Afghan helicopter crash. 10 U.S. Soldiers died when their helicopter crashed during combat operations aimed at flushing out militants from remote mountains in eastern Afghanistan. Thursday, we had Rumsfeld blasted and heckled during a speech in Atlanta, and saying he lied about WMD. Rumsfeld said he did not lie. Hardball, however, aired footage of Rumsfeld from Meet the Press, saying that he knew in a general area where the WMD were. And he told, he was on there, he said he knew the weapons were. He says, we know where they are. They are in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad, and east, west, south, and north somewhat. That's been a down. Rumsfeld later retracted his remarks, saying he should have qualified the remarks as, "I believe the weapons are in that area." And, of course, last Wednesday, Zacharias Massaoui was sentenced to life in prison. So with that, move on to news to you. And when this first one is from today. It was very open. I saw this on Lou Dobbs when I was coming in. U.S. or the Border Patrol, the Bush administration, is tipping Mexico to the Minutemen patrols. This is from the Inland Valley Bulletin newspaper. While Minutemen civilian patrols are keeping an eye out for illegal border crossers, the U.S. Border Patrol is keeping an eye out for Minutemen and telling the Mexican government where they are. According to three documents on the Mexican Secretary of Foreign Relations website, the U.S. Border Patrol is to notify the Mexican government as to the location of Minutemen and other civilian Border Patrol groups when they are...
The law signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence.
There's President Bush.
On terrorist threats. Mm. And on weapons of mass production.
Ay. And that's the guy who's leading this country. My God, we elect him twice. How can this country have been so stupid to elect that man twice? I have no idea. Anyway, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol spokesman confirmed that the Novocaine. Here we are telling the Mexicans, where the Mexican government, where the Minutemen are at. I mean, this is ridiculous. What's his name? Chris Simcox, the founder of the Minutemen, says, we know why it seemed the Mexican officials knew where we were all the time. It's unbelievable that our own government agency is sending intelligence to another country. They've just basically endangered the lives of the American people. No kidding. I mean, he speaks out one side of his mouth that, oh, I'm going to for sensible immigration reform, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and gives the Mexican government the location of the Minutemen. You know, unbelievable. And this is also from today. Another possible bump in the debt ceiling from this is from the Washington Post. A $2.7 trillion budget plan pending before the House would raise the federal debt ceiling to nearly $10 trillion, less than 2 months after the GOP Congress last...
Democrats, piss me off!
Where's the donkey noise? What are you talking about? Less than 2 months after Congress raised the federal... There it is! Oh, there it is. That's our theme song here in the program. We should make that to the theme somehow. A bunch of donkey noises. Less than 2 months after Congress... No. Anyway, the last thing, 2 months after Congress last raised the federal government's borrowing limit. That's for Congress, the pork-laden Congress, absolutely. The provision buried on page 121 of the 151-page budget blueprint serves as a backdrop, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they're going to... where are we at here? So they're going to raise the debt ceiling to nearly $10 trillion. And then that they get the tax cut extensions, like we mentioned, it's going to be $70 billion over the next 5 years. And then they're going to Thursday, they're going to go deal with this $513 billion defense policy bill. So, I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, and it's ridiculous. And they've raised it. When Bush got in office, the debt ceiling was $5.95 trillion. Now, you know, he's still got 2 years yet to go. It's almost $10 trillion. He's almost
doubled. Holy cow!
Yeah. Like I said, who's paying that off? You know, certainly not him. So, anyway, and this also from yesterday, from the nominee for the CIA Chief Hayden faces a fight. President Bush's nomination of General Michael Hayden as CIA chief ignited a confirmation fight Monday over the intelligence veteran's ties to the controversial eavesdropping program and his ability to be independent from the military establishment. Yeah, right. Bush, I urge senators to promptly approve the former NSA head, blah, blah. CIA Director Porter Goss. What's with these people, these odd names? You know, you got Porter Goss, you got Scooter Libby, Shooter Cheney. Who's that guy involved with the Lacey Peterson, Skeeter, whatever his name was? I mean, these names, you know. Don't put somebody in some position of power that's an odd name like Porter or Scooter Libby, you know. Porter Goss announced his resignation last week for tussling.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi Al-Shib, or whatever the guy's name was.
There he is. That's the President of the United States. What an example to the world he is. There he is. Even before Hayden's nomination became official, Republican as well as Democratic lawmakers had begun questioning whether he was the right choice to head the spy agency.
Democrats, piss me off!
No, Republicans. Senate Intelligence Chairman Pat... There we go. No. Senate Intelligence Chairman Republican Pat Roberts of Kansas stopped short of endorsing Hayden. While I'm not opposed to his nomination, senators, including myself, will have important questions which they will want addressed. Hayden is credited with designing the NSA's warrantless surveillance program. Oh, that's one reason not to have him confirmed as a CIA. Yeah, you know, you're wiretapping every phone in the country. This next one is also from Monday. Iraq war is drawing less support than Vietnam did at the same stage. 3 years into major combat in Vietnam, 28,500 U.S. service members had perished. Millions of families are anxious about the military draft. Today, at the same juncture in the Iraq war, about 2,400 American soldiers have died. There is one difference. The war in Iraq is more unpopular than was the Vietnam conflict at this stage, polls show. More Americans, 57%, say sending troops to Iraq was a mistake than the 48% who called it Vietnam an error in April 1968, according to the Gallup organization, the nonpartisan high-standing Gallup organization. Of course, it's high-standing when they agree with my views, so when they're not, they're a bunch of bastards. No. Anyway, this also is from Monday. Here's another odd name. You know, CIA Executive Director Kyle Dusty Fogo has resigned his post, according to an email sent out to the agency. This is on Monday morning from MSNBC, or as Rush Limbaugh says, PMSNBC. Fogo's resignation was, or Dusty's resignation, was reported Monday on MSNBC. The email, which the network did not provide, allegedly stated that in light of the CIA director Porter Goss's departure, Fogo is stepping down as well. But this Dusty guy, he's embroiled in this, what's his name, Duke Cunningham's scandal. The CIA's Inspector General has been investigating whether Dusty helped steer agency contracts to companies run by Brent Wilkes, a defense contractor who was identified as an unindicted co-conspirator when former San Diego Congressman, ex-Navy Air Ace Duke Cunningham pleaded guilty in a congressional bribery scandal, Republican congressional bribery scandal. So he might be embroiled in this thing. It's also something to do with poker games and hookers and all kinds of stuff going on. So it's really going off the wall here. And from Monday, we had Russ Feingold to Democrats, stand up to Bush. Senator Russ Feingold, a potential anti-war candidate in the 2008 presidential field, urged fellow Democrats on Monday to show more backbone in challenging President Bush on Iraq. Absolutely. We must get out of our political foxholes and be willing to clearly and specifically point out what a strategic error the Iraq invasion has been. If we do not show both a practical and emotional readiness to lead in the fight against terrorism, we will lose in 06 and we will lose in 08. So, good for him. Good for him. I agree wholeheartedly with him. You know, he's probably going to run for president. He doesn't stand a chance, but it's good to get this voice out there. Monday, violence in Iraq leaves at least 34 dead. Violence killed at least 34 people, including a U.S. soldier, as efforts to finish choosing the new cabinet. Doesn't even matter anymore. Cabinet, give me a break. They're not going to be able to govern that country. Looks like me being able to govern what goes on at the Rio. Hardly. Finished choosing new cabinet bogged down Monday in a web of conflicting interests. In a separate statement, the U.S. command said one American soldier was killed and another wounded during a clash Sunday near Tal Afar, 260 miles northwest of Baghdad. The fatalities raised to at least 2,421 the number of U.S. military members who have died since the beginning of the war. And then Lou Dobbs had mentioned there's 18,000 wounded. And of the 18,000 wounded, 8,000 plus wounded beyond to the point where they can no longer return to service. So that's something that should be shown a little bit more as well. And also, I mean, it's like, you know, us going to Iraq was taking a damn baseball bat to a beehive. You know, we never should have gone into there. I mean, if you'd gone in there, it should have been an overwhelming force. I mean, it just, I'm going to keep harping on it, but I mean, just good grief. For Monday, of course, last week was the 30th anniversary of the Mission Accomplished speech that President Bush gave underneath the banner on that battleship. And since then, U.S. troops wounded then were 542. Now wounded, 17,469 are wounded. U.S. troops killed then, 139. Now 2,400 plus. Numbered of insurgents then was 5,000. Now 15 to 20,000. Insurgent attacks per day then was 8,000. Or sorry, 8,000. We've gotten the hell out of there now. They're 8,000. 8, now 75. Cost to American taxpayers then $79 billion. Today, $320 billion. Look what we've done for that money with that money here. Fix the roads, fix the schools, get some people out of poverty. I mean, all kinds of things. Like Rahm Emanuel had this bill when we were first going in, that every dollar we spend in Iraq, we should spend on the things in the United States. Yeah, you know, would have driven up the deficit even more. But you think of some of the good we could have done. You know, like I said, fixing the roads, fixing the bridges. You know, schools, wire every school with the internet. I mean, I don't know. And Bush challenges hundreds of laws. President cites powers of his office. Get a load of this. I heard this on the news. I went digging. President Bush has quietly claimed the authority to disobey more than 750 laws enacted since he took office. Far more than any predecessor, Bush has been aggressive about declaring his right to ignore vast swaths of laws. Bush is the first president in modern history who has never vetoed a bill, giving Congress no chance to override his judgments. Instead, he has signed every bill that has reached his desk, often inviting the legislation sponsors to signing ceremonies, which he lavishes praise upon their work. Then, after the media and lawmakers have left the White House, Bush, in a darkened secret room in the White House, quietly files signing statements. The Constitution grants Congress the power to create armies, to declare war, and to make rules for captured enemies, and to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. But, citing his role as commander-in-chief, Bush says he can ignore any act of Congress that seeks to regulate the military. Amazing. This next one, he also has there on at least four occasions while Bush has been president, Congress has passed laws forbidding U.S. troops from engaging in combat in Colombia, where the U.S. military is advising the government in its struggle against narcotics-funded Marxist rebels. After signing each bill, Bush declared in a signing statement that he did not have to obey any of the Colombia restrictions because he is commander-in-chief. Like I mean, say he could do any. He thinks he could do anything he damn well pleases. You know, Congress has also twice passed laws forbidding the military from using intelligence that was not lawfully collected, including any information on Americans that was gathered in violation of the Fourth Amendment's protections against unreasonable searches. During the, Congress first passed this provision in August 2004 when Bush's warrantless domestic spying program was still a secret, and passed it again after the program's existence was disclosed in December 2005. On both occasions, he declared in signing statements that he, only he, as commander-in-chief, could decide whether such intelligence can be used by the military. Isn't this to make you sick? In October 2004, 5 months after the Abu Ghraib torture scandal in Iraq came to light, Congress passed a series of new rules and regulations, blah, blah, blah. Bush signed the provisions into law. Then he said he could ignore them all. Isn't that amazing? He just, oh, I'll just ignore them. I'll sign it, but then I'll just ignore the damn thing. You know, make good for the media that he's, you know, doing this stuff. Oh, no, we don't believe in renditioning or torturing. And then, oh, here, I'll have a little science here. Put this in there so they'll know I don't have to follow this law I just signed minutes ago in front of the cameras. You know what I mean?
Remember, there are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
Yeah. Other provisions required the Pentagon to retrain military prison guards on requirements for humane treatment of detainees under the Geneva Conventions. Remember those? To perform background checks on civilian contractors in Iraq. And to ban such contractors from performing security, intelligence, law enforcement, and criminal justice functions. Ha-ha. Bush reserved the right to ignore any of the requirements. Amazing. This makes you sick. In December 2004, Congress passed an intelligence. This is a GOP Congress. I could see it was him trying to stick it to the Democratic Congress, but this is a GOP Congress. In December 2004, Congress passed an intelligence bill requiring the Justice Department to tell them how often and what situations the FBI was using special national security wiretaps. Hello. The law also required the Justice Department to give oversight committees copies, blah, blah, blah. Bush issued a signing statement saying he could withhold all the information sought by Congress. Isn't that amazing? It's just ridiculous, you know? And then I heard that. I said, you got to be kidding me. So he does all these signing statements, and he just does whatever he pleases. You know, they say we got to get the Democrats. Please, they got to get the House of Representatives. That way we can blast them. You know, get the call these hearings order. Investigate this administration. Slow him down, for crying out loud. You know, they say what he does, he's doing now, sets the stage for future presidents, Democrats or Republicans. You want them all, you know, snooping into our, you know, on the internet, where we go on the internet. I don't want them to see what I'm downloading, you know what I'm saying? And then our phone calls and things like that. I mean, we got to stop this, you know. You know, this is a country of liberties and freedoms, and we can't stand for this, this holier-than-thou administration that wipes its ass with the Constitution to take it away from us, you know what I mean? You know? We say we got to fight as American people, you know, fight. Give the Democrats the House, you know, until we get a third party strong enough to scare the two of them. We got to give the Democrats the House. Everybody give a checks and balance, you know. It's just obvious to me. As obvious as the nose of my face, as they say. Monday, the USA Today Gallup poll. President Bush's approval rating has slumped to 31% in a new USA Today Gallup poll, the lowest of his presidency, and a warning sign for Republicans in the November elections. Oh, I hope so. And also CNN poll, the main reason you disapprove of Bush, other issues, total 26%, well, I don't know what those other issues are, he doesn't like, they don't like his tie he wears or, you know, his cologne, gas prices 13%, Iraq 56%. This is what we're leaving for these people in Iraq. Death squads deepened division in Baghdad. The bomb Sunday killed at least 30. Some 45 men were found slain in the capital. And this is from the Christian Science Monitor, not some liberal rag, you know. Three apparently coordinated car bomb attacks in Baghdad and Karbala killed around 30 people Sunday, as Iraqi politicians said they were near agreement on cabinet posts for a new government that they promised will come to grips with the country's deteriorating security situation. The morning blasts were accompanied by reports that the bodies of 45 men were found in various parts of Baghdad within 24 hours from Saturday morning. Most were bound. Some were bearing signs of torture and all shot in the head. Amazing. Amazing. You know, look at these people. This is what we're leaving them. You know, this mess in Iraq. You know, I say it's like you're hitting a bat to a beehive, what we did over there. You know, even George Herbert Walker Bush and them, they all said going into Iraq and Baghdad was a big mistake. They would get in the middle of a civil war between all of them. Turns out the father was right after all. You should always listen to your father, right? I don't know. Ever since the February 22nd bombing of a major Shiite shrine in the city of Samarra has touched off dozens of reprisal attacks on Sunni mosques, Iraqis have reported a sharp rise in attacks at the hands of both Shiite and Sunni Arab death squads. A Baghdad health official says there have been at least 2,500 murders in the capital since the Samarra shrine attack. It goes on. The Christian Science Monitor says Baghdad appears to be more divided and war-torn than at any point since the fall of Saddam's regime. Four or so well-organized and armed government militias operating in the diverse city. Small armed neighborhood militias are springing up in dozens of neighborhoods. We'll never get our hands on this. Like I said, a few weeks ago we had, I forget who it was, on saying we're going to have I think it was Michael G.W. Stickings was saying that there's going to be a war on Baghdad, so we'll see what happens there. GOP chief warns Republicans could lose seats. This is good news. National Republican Chairman Kenneth Melman went to Capitol Hill on Tuesday to warn the party's House and Senate campaign staffers of dire consequences unless Republicans break the current legislative deadlock. Melman emphasized the necessity to pass budget resolution. Oh, blah, blah. He can emphasize all he wants. I hope they're going to go down in flames in November. Word circulated around Capitol Hill that Melman warned that 45 seats could be lost in the House on November 7th. Oh, I hope so. That'd be enough to override any kind of Republican bill. You have enough to make some headway there. An AP Ipsos poll, direction of the country, right 23%, wrong 73%. Bush approval rating, approved 33%, disapproved 65%. Congress job approval, 25%, disapproved 71%. Who should control Congress? Republicans 34%, Democrats 51%. NSA spy poll. New Gallup poll by the high-standing authoritative Gallup organization released Monday showed that 51% of Americans said the administration was wrong to intercept conversations involving a party inside the U.S. without a warrant. In response to another question, 58% say they support the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate the program. So, I mean, it just keeps on rolling along. According to a new CBS poll, only 30% of Americans approve of Bush's handling of Iraq. A microscopic 8% think he has a clear plan for keeping gas prices down. Compare that with what Bush has said while campaigning in the year 2000. Get a little of this. He says, blah, blah, blah. No. He says, I would work with our friends in OPEC to convince them to open up the spigot, to increase the supply, use the capital that my administration will earn with the Kuwaitis or the Saudis, and convince them to open up the spigot. That was 6 years ago. I guess that spigot isn't opening that soon, is it? You know? I mean, you got two oil men in the White House, you know, and all this is going on. I mean, you know, get them to lower. I don't know why he can't. He's busy, giving his buddies in the business community, tax, $70 billion in tax break extensions and all this garbage. Can't he waive the 18-cent gas tax, at least for, a little while? I mean, it'll help us. I think it'll help me a lot. I mean, it just makes sense to me, but, who am I? But I just think that's what's needed. He needs to do that, and he gets lean on the states to also lower their taxes. Like in Nevada, we got a 23-cent gas tax on top of the 18 that the federal government tax on. So, and then Karl Rove, remember him, the Darth Vader of Republican politics, Rove reaching out to nearly every district to fire up conservative base against charging Democrats. Karl Rove has been traveling across. I hope they indict him soon. Else, stop him right in his tracks. Karl Rove has been traveling across the country, reaching out to nearly every district in play for the November elections in a frantic effort to fire up the conservative base against the charging Democratic Party. The prospect of the administration spending its last 2 years being grilled by angry Democrats under the heat of partisan Kleglites has added urgency to the efforts of by Karl Rove and Bush's political team to hang on to the Republican majorities in Congress. Oh, I hope they're wrong. I hope the Republicans go down in flames. But Rove confidently tells the Times he isn't worried about the troubles for the Bush administration because we don't see how that plays out because they're not going to win. You believe that? So I think that will bring on Pamela. I think she's on the line, huh?
To seniors, we understand how important prescription drug coverage. So prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan.
Wonderful. You're working hard to put food on your family.
And we're joined by Pamela. Pamela, are you there?
Hello, yes I am.
There you go. What do you think of that music there? Linda Lavin. Can you hear it?
Barely.
Oh. Oh, you have to, oh it was Linda, the Alice. There we go. There we go. That's from Alice. That's all right. It didn't go over as well as I thought it was going to go over. So, Pamela, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
There you go. I thought a little nice music, yeah, because you're a first female political contributor to the program. So I thought we'd play a little Alice music for you.
Oh, well, you know, I've been listening to Bruce Springsteen's Seeger sessions for the past week and a half.
Really?
Yeah, you sound a big Springsteen fan.
Your voice sounds a bit like, you watch Battlestar Galactica, your voice sounds a bit like Katie Sackhoff.
No, I don't watch TV.
Oh, no. So tell everybody a little bit about you and your site. There's Bruce Springsteen. There you go. You hear it? There you go.
That works for me.
There you go. That gets you in the mood. So Pamela runs the DemocraticDaily.com website, correct?
Yes.
All right. And tell the listeners out there a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a single mom. I live in L.A., and I have a small business that I run from home, so it gives me the time to blog and work at the same time. They kind of get in the way of each other occasionally, but I've been blogging since 2003 now. I actually wrote for the John Kerry blog throughout the entire primary and election cycle, and I got hooked.
Yeah, it's blogging is amazing. How you first started, like you know, I try to do as often as I can on my blog. But I mean, you know, with doing the show and working, I can't. But you do it. I'm on your blog now. I'm going to say it's excellent.
Thank you.
It's once again, it's the DemocraticDaily.com, and it's also a news site as well as a blog as well. Correct?
Right. Yeah. We try to keep up with pretty much everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, in the political spectrum on a daily basis, I have a co-writer, Ron Chuzid, who also was very active on JohnKerry.com during the election. And between the two of us and a couple of other people that contribute now and then, we average probably about 8 to 20 threads a day on our blog.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Now, what's the big news on your blog right now?
Health insurance. There's a lot of Health Week. It's Health Week in the Senate, and there's been a lot going on with that today with Senator Kennedy, Senator Kerry. Of course, the Republicans, you know, they don't want us to have anything. The Democrats want us to have more than we've got, which is nothing.
Yeah. And because you're a big John Kerry fan. Now, looking at, you know, he's been showing up on TV a little bit more lately. Last few weeks, he's been, you know, popping up in some of the programs and everything. How do you think, you know, do you think he's going to run in 08 again, or?
I hope he does.
Really?
Yeah,
really.
I do.
Now, because a lot of people say, you know, once you run once and you lose, the Democrats don't tend to re-nominate you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know. People say that, but it has been done. I'm trying to think of who it was. I'm actually reading Jonathan Alter's book about FDR right now, The Defining Moment. And I guess Al Smith back in the 20s was nominated more than once.
Wow.
Yeah, something I didn't know. Great book, by the way. I highly recommend it. We need hope like FDR brought us back in the 30s. We're a mess right now.
Absolutely. I've been saying that for the longest time on this program. You know, with the Democrats, you know, I've been a Democrat since I lived in Chicago. You know, I'm saying... But they have to come out with you know, proposals to counter the Republicans. You know, people are, you know, anti, you know, the Republicans are doing bad right now because the polls and Iraq and Bush and all that. But they have to, American people want to vote for somebody. You know, you got to give them reasons to vote for you. You know, you tell them you're going to fix, you know, the borders or Medicare. You know, you got to give them some kind of idea, a plan, what you're going to do when you get in office. You know what I'm saying?
You know, we've got plans out there,
yeah.
But the problem is that the media doesn't cover them.
Exactly.
And, you know, the liberal blogosphere, it's sort of, in my opinion, it's about 50-50. I'm one of those bloggers that, you know, rather than join the circular firing squad, we try to promote what our elected people are doing, you know. So we work a lot with Kerry's office and Senator Kennedy's office, and just try to get out there in the news, you know, on our blog, what they're doing, and there are plans. Democrats do have a plan.
Yeah. Well, I just wish that, you know, well, it's still a ways out. We got until November. But, I mean, you got Karl Rove out there floating around. I just read the story where he's out there trying to, you know, save the Republicans from, you know, doom in November and all that.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a smart man. I mean, he dredged up all that, the gay marriage bills in all these states to drive up the, you know, Republican votes and everything. I mean, he's going to do that again. You know, there's, what, several... I think in Illinois, there's a petition going around to get on the bill again, the gay marriage bill, and also gay adoption. This stuff is rolling around out there, you know?
Yeah, it is. I have to wonder, though, you know, even with Rove, I mean, A, let's look at the fact that the rumor's out there that Rove's going to get indicted within the next couple of weeks. So if Rove gets indicted, Rove could be gone.
I hope so. I hope they indict him. He deserves it, you know?
He sure does.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, as I say, we got to be, you know, the Democrats got to be watching for this. You know, Howard Dean, like I've said before, he's always got this foot in the mouth itis. Have you noticed that? He's always, every few weeks, he sticks his foot in his mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I kind of wish he, you know, I said he'd be perfect to do a national radio show, you know, opposite Rush, you know, having, you know, Dean doing a 3-hour show, and then it could give him his out. Like Streisand can fund it. You know, she'll throw money at him and fund it, and he gets somebody else in there and run the party. I mean, bring back what's his name, Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah.
You know, but
well, I know there's been rumors that we're not doing so good in the money department.
Yes.
And thankfully, the DSCC is doing well with that, and the DCCC.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've got a ways to go. We've got some big primaries coming up. I know California's primary is in June, and that's going to be interesting. We've got two Democrats going head-to-head against, you know, for the governor's seat, Wesley mm-hmm. and Angelides.
Mm. How's that going?
I haven't heard much in the past couple of days. I tend to pay more attention to the national news.
Yeah.
Angelides did pick up the party endorsement, the California Democratic Party endorsement. I think it was a week and a half ago. They chose him over Wesley, who basically, you know, pulled a Schwarzenegger, and he's running with his own money.
Mm-hmm.
And people in California, I don't think we want that again.
Yeah.
think we want somebody that's going to run on public funds, you know, public donations. I mean, this is crazy. This guy comes, first he said he was going to run, then he said he wasn't going to run, and then he turns around and decides to run and puts in $20-something million of his own money to run.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had that kind of money. You know, I'd be on national radio tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Actually, I have a question for the chat room. What do you think of all the rumblings now about Al Gore running?
I'm not too sure. I mean,
yeah.
I personally... You know, I would go for Kerry over Gore.
Really?
I'll back whoever the nominee is. But
yeah.
I'm a Kerry person. I actually grew up in Massachusetts and waited my whole life for John Kerry to run for president. So I'm a Kennedy Kerry Democrat.
There you go. Yeah, well, I liked Kerry as well. I just think he got beat up over the Swift boat and all that mess. I think Gore, I mean, too bad Gore didn't run in 2004. It would have been a perfect rematch. You know, people, you know, felt so much sympathy to Gore because a lot of people feel he got, you know, basically got screwed out of the White House. You know, but, because that movie's coming out, in a few weeks,
his environmental movie.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be stoke the flames from running again.
Yeah. I'm supposed to go see it with a friend on a press press premiere, I guess, sometime, I think, next week or this week. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to have you back on. You can tell us how the movie was. I mean, it's interesting because in Vegas, we don't get the artsy movies out here. You know, all this is Mission Impossible 3 and all that. You know,
I never planned to see.
Neither do I. Mission Impossible 3 kind of reminds me of the Bush administration right now. Iraq is a Mission Impossible. You know what I'm saying?
Bush keeps sinking lower and lower in the polls every day.
Yeah.
They all do. You know, the whole Republican Party is just sinking. And I really have to wonder where things are going to go in 06. I don't see them faring well in the House or the Senate races.
Well, you know, they're probably going to time, you know, a raising of the threat limit, threat level right around that time. Because it seems like funny now, once we get out of the presidential election season, they haven't raised the threat level once. You know what I mean?
Well, I think people are on to that at this point. I think people are on to a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I saw on the LA Times last night that Fox News ratings are down, Fox and CNN. CNN's taken a bigger hit than Fox. Fox is down 17%.
Wow.
And CNN is down 38%.
I can't understand. I enjoy CNN a lot more than I watch The Situation Room. I like that. What else? It's the only show. It's on 3 hours. So, but I mean,
Blitzer's occasionally fair. I mean, I watch when Kerry's on because I follow pretty much everything he does on my blog. So you know, I make a point of watching when he's on and post the transcripts. We have a fair amount of Kerry supporters on the blog on a regular basis.
Very cool. Now, what would you think if Edwards decides to run as well? I mean, you know, it'd be Kerry versus Edwards again, like it was in the 04.
Well, it could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Edwards has been doing a lot of great stuff. He's been working with Senator Kennedy on the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's got to get done. And there's so many things. I mean, middle class, lower income, I hate to use the word class, backup. Middle income, lower income people are really struggling in this country.
Yeah.
The economy is in the pits. Ever since the gas prices raised over the past 3 weeks, I've watched my little cottage industry lose business in the past 3 weeks. I mean, it's crazy. People are really struggling.
Yeah.
And the Republicans don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't. What's your business? Do you want to give it a plug? Or?
I make bath and body products, actually.
Wow.
I have two business websites. I sell wholesale and retail online, aromatherapygoddess.com and aromatherapywholesale.com.
Oh, I have to remember that. Thank you. It's good. I mean, I like people, small, Now, do you find it easier or harder to run your business since Bush has been? Has he made it, have they done anything at the small business SBA to make it easier for you?
He hasn't done anything to make it easier for me, but Kerry actually was instrumental in getting the microloan program going, and I actually was able to secure a microloan, and I thank Senator Kerry for that, and he's fought to keep it going because the Bush administration keeps trying to close that program down.
Huh. It's amazing. It's amazing. You hear all these things in the budget. Like I said, I read off these signing, not just for the budget, but the signing statements that Bush has. He signs these bills, and in the dark of night, he signs a signing statement saying he doesn't have to follow whatever the law is he just signed.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Somebody said 750 times he signs signing statements. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He thinks he's a king.
Yeah. Did you find the anger? I mean, because I'm on this all the time. Do you feel the anger out there that the people have across the board at Bush?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm in L.A., so when I talk to people, I mean, the majority of the people I know are liberals. And, you know, I hear from people, that are Republicans or independents that they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's still some stragglers out there, and that to me is kind of amazing that people just still aren't getting it.
No.
But I think more and more every day the anger's out there. People are frustrated. People don't know what to do.
Yeah, I can't understand the supporters, whatever it is now, the 30% of it is, I don't know if these people are brain dead, brain numb, or just brainwashed. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's all the Rush Limbaugh listeners that are still supporting Bush,
Yeah.
And then what else is going on? He had also about the I said before, these people with these odd names. Bush has got to stop with these people with these odd, like Porter Goss, he's gone now, and then Dusty, what's his name?
Fogg? Was it Fogg?
Dusty Foggos or something like that. he's leaving.
He's on my blog. Let me scroll down and find him.
Yeah, he's leaving because he's supposedly involved with this Duke Cunningham scandal with the hookers.
Hookergate, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I think that the Republicans thought, I think Friday with Patrick Kennedy's mess, that, finally they'll be knocked off the head, they'll beat up on the Democrats for a while, and the same day, boom, the other shoe drops, and there goes Porter Goss and, what's his name, Duke.
Fargo.
Yeah, Fargo, yeah, Dusty, yeah, his
Dusty
nickname
Fargo.
Is Dusty, and Dusty gets in the news for this Hookergate with Duke, What do you think?
Well, it's far more newsworthy than Patrick Kennedy, in my opinion. I was rather disgusted by the outcry about Patrick Kennedy, personally. I have known a lot of people who have struggled with addiction over the years, and it's a tough fight.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think? What do you think of the Hayden nomination to run the CIA?
You know, I'm not sure. I read a couple of things. I posted about it today. I mean, there's people out there that are saying that maybe he's going in to kind of take some of the power away from Rumsfeld and Cheney, and, if that's the case, then that could be a good thing. Mm. I don't know that I like the idea of a military man leading the CIA, but from what I understand, there's been 5 military men that have led the CIA, so, what do I know about that?
Yeah. Another question for Chairman. If Kerry gets the nomination in 2008, who would you like to see be his running mate? Oh, that'd be interesting, huh?
God. Hard to say.
Yeah. How about Barbara Boxer, huh?
I
wow.
love Barbara Boxer, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who.
Barbara's great. I think that she's outstanding. I would love to see her run for president someday. I would go for her in a heartbeat before I would go for Hillary.
Yeah. I'm getting that way myself. A few months ago, I was supportive of Hillary, and I started looking more and more how polarizing she is. I'm like, we really don't need to go through this again, because as soon as she does get the nomination or get in, it'll be nothing. It'll be white water all over again, and it'll be hounding her again like they did to her husband. Let's move on from that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think she's going to do it. I don't know what the posturing is all about. I know the Republicans want to put her up there like they put Dean up there as the favorite. I just don't think she's going to do it. And I think if Kerry could not carry red America, how are we going to get Hillary to?
You know,
I'm all for having a woman president. I'm a woman. I'm a feminist. I want to see this someday, but not now. It's not going to happen in 08.
Yeah, it's got to be the right woman.
And it's got to be the right woman. Yeah, exactly.
The governor of her last name's probably gonna, Napolitano. I mean, that's kind of. I don't think. Yeah, it's a name is a name, but still, the governor, President Napolitano, it sounds too ethnic. I hate to say that, but I mean, Clinton, Bush, Carter, I don't know who else is that, Barbara Boxer, probably. Too bad Colin Powell doesn't run, you know what I'm saying?
Colin Powell, I think, has probably kind of just going to stay slipped back in the background now. I feel like he got a raw deal.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I'm trying to remember who I was listening to. Oh, I was listening to Ray McGovern on Randy Rhodes yesterday, talking about Colin Powell, and I guess they grew up together. And he couldn't stand up to them, and you know that he just doesn't feel right now. I don't know. I think he's lost all credibility at this point, which is really too bad.
But they made him get up there and do and hold that vial of all that. I mean, just he's still. What's good about him, though, he's still able to maintain his credibility. I mean, he was hurt from that, but I think he's still such a well thought of. I think if he runs for president, I would hope he'd run as a Democrat. I would think he would run as a Democrat. But
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and also I see this on your blog. I want to point this out. You have a Bush appointees not diverse. This is amazing that his amount of racial percentage of appointees has dropped since 2000, right?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. And, of course, in the Washington Post story, I'm trying to find this piece, too. In the Washington Post story, they were pushing the fact that his cabinet is far more diverse than Clinton's was. But the lower end positions are not diverse, and it's a huge disparity. It's really, really something. I don't know. I mean, there is nothing that the Bush administration does that doesn't cease to amaze me and astound me at this point in time.
Yeah.
Clinton had 47% women in his cabinet or political appointees, and Bush 2005, that was Clinton 1997, Bush 2005, 37%.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have a question for the chairman for you. You're in California. What are the gas prices out by you?
$3.49
wow.
to $3.79.
Wow, that's amazing. It's $3.06. I was coming in here to do the program. It's $3.06 a gallon here in Las Vegas. You can go across town, be $3.20. I think it's amazing these gas prices. Yeah. Do you feel the rage? Are people around you are furious about these gas prices going through the roof again, and Bush doing nothing about it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more road rage in Southern California lately.
Really?
Yeah. I just notice that people are just testy drivers. When I'm out and about driving, and the surface streets out here, not even on the freeway, people are cutting you off more often, and it's like they're getting in their car and they're mad that they have to go somewhere because it's costing them a lot more money than it used to.
Yeah, well, I understand. You see, Bush can cut the gas tax. It's 18 cents, federal gas tax. He can cut that with the stroke of a pen. I don't know why he just doesn't do that,
I don't know.
It would drop it 18 cents, and he can, the standards of shifting from one fuel to the other, that's slowing down the refineries. I don't know why can't we just stay on the one fuel, until the gas prices come down?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things he could have, like I said, he had a statement he said in 2000 that he's going to talk to the Saudis and the Kuwaitis about opening up the spigot. Wow, he's talking to them for 6 years now because they've yet to open up the spigot,
Well, if he's talking to them, it's in bed with them because, that's what it's all about. I mean, he's in bed with all the oil companies, and he doesn't want to lower the prices. He's feeding them.
Yeah, it's really sad. And then, another question now. Wait, let's see. Carrie, wait a second. If Carrie's not the nomination, you ever said who'd you want to nominate?
I haven't got a clue.
I
really haven't got a clue. I mean, the field's kind of wide open right now. Mm-hmm. There's talk about Clinton. There's talk about Feingold. There's, talk of...
Edwards.
We've got Gore.
Yeah. Richardson. I really don't see him.
No. Biden. He's another one. That's a no for me.
Yeah.
I'll go for whoever's going to be nominated. I'm seriously hoping that Kerry's going to throw his hat into the ring. He's not going to say anything till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And, once he makes his decision, then I decide from there, what I'm going to do.
I mean, it's a ways off, but boy, they start planning so far out. I mean, you see Feingold on TV all the time, showing up, and Hillary's kind of laying low because she's with the Senate bit. But Edwards, I mean, you see him, he's showing up more and more, and hopefully his wife is healthy enough where he can run again.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught on my blog, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh yes.
Said Kerry should run in 08. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, what got into him to endorse Kerry? That's amazing, huh?
He said we need some strong leadership in this country.
Wow.
It was in the Boston Herald today.
Yeah. Here's the quote. Yeah, if I were him, I'd do it. What's he got to lose? He almost won last time. Wow. Yeah, he's got to be more specific. He's got to take care of those the SWIP voters first.
Well, he's working on that, I think his couple of speeches he's done recently, the dissent speech at Faneuil Hall, and then the speech this last Saturday at Grinnell University in Iowa. He's been come out very strong about speaking out about voicing your dissent and. Mm-hmm. The SWIFT vote thing was just really, it caught everybody off guard.
Yeah.
I have a piece on the blog from last week about Eric Bollert's new book, Lapdogs. Have you seen anything about it?
No, I've seen a couple of reviews, but yeah.
Well, there was a piece on the Huffington Post last week. There was a 5-page excerpt on Salon, and there was also an excerpt on the Huffington Post, which I wrote about on the 4th on Thursday, and the piece that was on the Huffington Post was about the Swift Boat Veterans campaign against Kerry. And he says, Bollert says in the book that the Washington Post published 13 page one Swift Boat stories in 12 days in August.
Really?
12 consecutive days.
Huh.
13 stories. And he goes through and he outlines all the various media outlets that just, you know, bought into this and played along, and it's disgusting. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. I wrote something about it in November, too, about how the mainstream media basically handed Bush the election.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. Actually, Spock is in a chair. We got a lot of sci-fi. Spock is in a chair. I'm saying, then let him run. It is logical to let Kerry run. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, we got a long way to go.
We sure do.
Yeah. I said, he's got to take care of the Swift boaters, first of all. Maybe Teresa can write a couple checks. You know what I'm saying? And take care of him.
I don't know if that's legal. Teresa is... is a stellar example of what a first lady should be.
Yeah, speaks her mind, and she's not afraid. I met her at a rally here in Vegas. They brought me up to the front. I was standing at the front railing there, and she was so nice. I talked to her for a couple of minutes. They come around shaking hands and everything.
Yeah.
He was off. You know, he had to do an interview, so she took more time with the crowd. And she said, her husband's advanced team hates that because, you know, they pushes all their timing back, that, you know, she spent too much time talking to the people.
Yeah.
And she goes, I just love this. You know, and she goes, last week she was out talking to people for an hour and a half while her husband's on the bus waiting to go back to the airport. And I was like,
well, it's hard to get him on the bus sometimes.
Yeah.
Too. He loves to talk. He was out here in L.A. Just a month ago, and I spent about 15 minutes talking with him. I
wow.
have some pictures on my photo gallery on my blog of me walking and talking with him that his assistant Marvin Nicholson took of us. And he just, you know, you get him talking when he gets the opportunity, and he loves to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He's very warm and compassionate, not what they sell him, you know, to be. I mean, he's just, you know, he's not cold and aloof. He's warm, compassionate, funny. He's got a great personality.
Yeah. Well, maybe this time, you know, because he admitted that, you know, he knows, you know, his team made some mistakes. You know, I think, first of all, not responding to the Swift boaters faster. So the second time around, he probably would be able to run the campaign a little bit better because he went through it once before. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. And it's fresh. It's fresh enough that he's able to see what he did wrong and correct that. And, you know, the timing is better, in my opinion, if he does it in 08 than possibly wait for the next election cycle. He's got a lot of support out there still. And, I mean, it amazes me because I write about him all the time, and we get our stuff in the search engines. And it amazes me. People show up on my blog on a daily basis and say, wow, thank you for being here. And, you know, I want Kerry to run again.
Yeah. Now, before we let you go, what's the number one issue to you for the Democrats in 06?
Healthcare, gas prices, the economy.
Really? All that? Yeah. I mean, I said the USA.
And the war.
And the, absolutely. No, because the USA Today's got the article, and if you read that, the five keys of who will control Congress. They have immigration, gas, Medicare, Iraq, and scandal. Could affect the three, four, yeah, there's five. I had to count them. Could affect the midterm races. I absolutely. I said the Iraq, that's in the bag already. And scandal, that's in the bag. Gas, if it stays over $3, it's over with for them. You know, and immigration, that's a big problem for the Republicans as well. You know?
Yeah, it is. And,
you know?
And I don't know. You know, I don't know where that's going to go. I have heard that it's not going to go anywhere this year. Though when Kerry was out here, he was out here talking immigration, and he said, we got to get it fixed this year. You know, I hope that we do. I mean, it's a big problem, no matter how you look at it. And, you know, it's a very divisive issue. I mean, it's something that brings more people out into the streets protesting than the Iraq war. It's a big issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Pamela, we'll let you go. We're at the end of our segment with you.
Thank you.
We'll have to bring you on after you see the movie, if you don't mind.
Oh, that would be great.
Very
I'll,
good.
I'll let you know when I'm going to see it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Pamela from the DemocraticDaily.com website and blog. We thank you very much for being on the program. Yeah, that was refreshing, having a new voice on the program. We don't have very many women on the program, except when it's Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. I got to get on here about being on next week, because actually next Wednesday is the day the Earth stood still. It's my birthday, so see if we can get her on Tuesday as a gift to all the listeners. So anyway, we'll take our break, and I'll be back in the next hour with Jasmine from PopCultureJunkies.com. We'll be right back.
Before I take your questions, let me speak with the American people about the situation in Iraq. This has been tough weeks in that country. Weeks in that country.
Europeans, Freeans.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want, just not call me late for dinner. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's Subject to Discussion time, live at LVRocks.com, and also part of the AntiRadio.net podcast, as well as Meeker Broadcasting. And before we get to bring on Jasmine, I have this little cartoon I was showing the Centurion in charge, consular, about the gas station cartoon. I found this on Democrats.us. It's the online think tank for Democrats, you know. Gas full service, it says, and then self-service, and then it says lip service with President Bush underneath it. So that's exactly what it is. So I think with that, we'll bring on Jasmine with our pop culture discussion. And Jasmine, are you there?
Hi, Sean. Can you hear me?
Yes, very good. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, I was just concerned just because, like, you know, I think as I mentioned before, I generally have sort of reception issues in my apartment.
Ah.
So I thought that if for some reason we got disconnected or there was some sort of, like, buzz
around
my voice, I can make up an excuse, like, I live in a really old building or, you know, it's...
Well, usually we blame it on the Bush NSA wiretaps here.
Oh, that works too. Yeah, although I don't know that I would have so much to say.
Uh-oh.
I don't think that anything that I could say that would, you know, would be of much interest to President Bush. Maybe, yeah. You know, Tom Cruise, maybe him, just because I've been spending a lot of time talking about him.
Ah, well, what's the latest about Tom Cruise then?
Originally, I think what I wanted to sort of, like, muse on or sort of talk to you about was just his general craziness, but...
Yes.
I mean, it's sort of hard to dispute. I mean, he acts out in public, he says all sorts of wacky things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seems to be, like, I think in terms of sort of, like, keeping it together, you know, sort of mentally, in public at least, mm-hmm. he doesn't seem to... be making that much of a priority right now. So,
yes.
You know, I worry, not so much for him, but, you know, his new family. You know, I worry for, you know, Katie, his baby mama. I worry for, you know, Suri, you know, the baby himself, or the baby itself, or herself, rather.
Yeah, now you're from Chicago, right?
I am, yeah.
I'm originally from Chicago, and the guest following you, he's also from Chicago, so we got a triple play here of people from Chicago. Now, where are you at in the city?
I live in Bucktown/Logan Square, depending on, you know, I guess, like, you know, sort of... how long you've lived in the neighborhood. So sort of on the blue line on the way out to O'Hare Airport.
Very good, very good. And then, so Tom Cruise, actually, breaking news is Britney Spears is pregnant with baby number two.
I was just thinking
about
that. Yeah, there seems to be, you know, just all sorts of baby wackiness going around.
Yeah.
It's weird. I used to follow Britney, like, really, really closely. And there was a while where I decided I had to sort of declare, like, a moratorium, like I was going to ban her. I wasn't, you know, going to think about her, sort of follow gossip about her, just because, you know, I was a big fan of her from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, she seemed really cute, you know, like, if not really talented, then a really hard worker. And then, you know, she starts getting, you know, mixed up with this Kevin Federline guy. He's a dancer.
Yeah.
He broke up with his pregnant girlfriend to be with her, blah, blah, blah. She marries the guy. They have a kid. I'm thinking, I'm done with this woman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now she's pregnant again, and, you know, sort of, I think of that and sort of, like, you know, recent reports of, you know, the two of them fighting, her, you know, like, cutting off his allowance, that I think that, I feel like I should reach out, I should, you know, send her a letter and say, "Dear Brittany, I'm really concerned about you, I think that, you know, I understand that you have another baby on the way, but maybe now's the time that you should just sort of cut the cord between you and Kevin Federline and just move on."
Yeah, because you went there out here in Vegas a couple weeks ago for Federline's CD release at a party
over
at
right.
over at the Pure nightclub here at Caesar's Palace, and she did not come down from the room to the party. Apparently, they were in some kind of a tiff or something like that. So
Seems to me that I'm always like I read about that, but and I have to say I sort of confused it with some other incidents because it seems to me that there's always some weekend where like you know the two of them are in L.A. or they're out in Vegas, they're out in New York, and they're they're having some sort of a tiff about. You know, whatever, but then a couple of days later, they'll turn up, like, somewhere else on the street, like, you know, lovey-dovey, so I don't know if that's really, like, a symptom of, you know, how the relationship truly is, or, you know, if they're actually sort of working towards something, and, I don't know.
Yeah.
I worry about her.
It's odd, and, other breaking news is that Star Jones apparently is off of The View, and she will be replaced by Gail King of Oprah's Oprah's show, also from Chicago.
Has that actually been confirmed? When I checked, it's a rumor. That she was sort of like the front runner for the gig. That ABC would be according to some outlets or sources, ABC would be announcing that Star Jones' contract would not be renewed.
Yes,
Gail King, you know, is a viable front runner, and you know the times that I've seen her on Oprah's show, I mean, she, you know. I think she could do it. Of course, you know, I think that I would also make an admirable choice.
Absolutely. I'll be glad to go on that show, too.
They need sort of like another chubby sort of like, you know, girl of color. And I think that I fit the bill.
Yeah.
Only, you know, were I to sort of like, you know, lose any sort of weight, I don't know that I could sort of be all coy and, and say, oh, well, you know, I didn't have surgery or refuse to answer questions. I'd step and be like, yep, I paid for it. This is how much it cost. This is where I got it.
Absolutely.
If you want a referral, this guy's really fabulous, blah, blah, blah. Because, frankly, why wouldn't you want to trumpet like that sort of, I guess that sort of change in your appearance?
Yeah. Now, what do you do is your day job?
My day job is I do QA. I do quality and assurance testing for a company that makes software here in Chicago.
Very good, very good. Now, you've been blogging for how long?
Oh, gosh. I'd say probably about, it'll be 6 years in July. My blog started out as a newsletter that I would send to a couple of friends. Some of them would send it on to other friends of theirs. Since July of 2006, I basically have just always blogged about my life, such as it is, you know, anything interesting or non-interesting I've been doing. And so I've also been blogging for Pop Culture Junkies, for the Pop Culture blog since, I think, fall of last year.
Very good. Yeah, because I was looking for another pop culture site to do the segment it's unbelievable all the information on that popculturejunkies.com
and I think that we've got a pretty good niche. I think that like in terms of providing information and pretty decent analysis as opposed to just sort of like gossip and just meanness that you might find elsewhere. I think that, we give sort of. Analysis. So that's pretty much where I come from. I mean, I used to write an advice column when I was in college.
Really? Really?
So, I've sort of had this, I guess this tendency to sort of get up in people's business, even if I didn't know them, or rather, especially if I didn't know them and say, listen, girl, this is what you got to be doing.
Wow. You should do a radio show, like a Dr. Laura type of thing in Chicago. I'm sure you can do that.
I think before I do that, we'll see, well, I was thinking, maybe what I should do is I should sort of set up like a little booth in front of my apartment and hang up a little sign and, advise 5 cents.
Like on peanuts.
And see if people respond to that. And if that, goes pretty well, then certainly I could, certainly give radio here a try.
Absolutely. And you want to talk about the recap of Tony Snow, the snow job coming to the White House.
I was so excited about that. And then I was doing some research earlier, and he hasn't actually started yet.
Well, he has, but he's not officially taken over, I think, till tomorrow, I think, they got a new...
I don't know that I have any... I can really give you guys, a decent recap of, the job that he's been doing, especially in comparison to Scott McClellan. In terms of, doing sort of superficial comparisons between the two, I think that he's way cuter than Scott McClellan, so, make of that what you will. So I think I'll be paying much closer attention to the White House press briefings than I used to.
Well, they say he's the, Snow is like the Jerry Seinfeld to McClellan was the, whatever it is on that show, the fat guy, what's his
George.
Name? Costanza, yeah.
I guess. I can totally see that. Yeah. As long as he's got a couple of decent jokes, I think he's got me as a viewer.
Yeah, well, I think...
Granted, he's a Republican, he could never be, it can never really be, you know, any sort of a, like, real sort of romantic sentiment. Like, he's not going to make it, you know, to sort of my list of celebrity crushes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think, well, see, it takes 2 weeks for the official brainwashing to get done before he finally takes over. You know, you got to follow the administration line verbatim. So it takes 2 weeks to get the brainwashing done. He went to go to the Patty Hearst School of brainwashing for that, I think. You know what I mean? And then also you want to talk about celebrities coming to Chicago. Wow.
I'm so excited about this. I've been in Chicago for almost 12 years, actually over 12 years now. I'm going to be 12 years in the fall. And I'm from New York originally, and I guess that, you know, I'm just sort of, like, used to sort of being able to see random celebrities just sort of walking down the street, picking their noses, just looking, you know, just regular and sort of disgusting. And, you know, was generally pretty blasé about it. So, you know, I move here, and, you know, there's nothing. I don't see Joan Cusack at the grocery store. I don't ever see Oprah anywhere. I don't think anyone's ever seen Oprah just around on the street. I saw David Schwimmer once at brunch, like, sitting a couple of tables away. But, I mean, literally people had to tell me that it was him. And this was, like, you know, quite a few years ago when Friends was still in the air. So, I mean, I've been starving for actual, you know, like, celebrity, you know, sort of celebrity sightings. So I'm glad that Conan's in town. I don't have tickets. I'm hoping, you know, that there's a standby list for taping for the rest of the week while he tapes his show here at the Chicago Theater downtown. Ah. Dave Chappelle, I think, probably just finished a show or is doing a show right now and another show tomorrow night, I guess, testing out new material, because I think the rumor is he's probably going to be doing a tour.
Really?
So that should be really exciting.
Very cool.
And then, again, I was trying to find confirmation for this, but Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston actually buying a house, looking at, you know, Mr. T's house up in the Chicago suburbs. And I think that didn't quite go through. But as to whether or not they've actually bought a place here, I'm still trying to, you know, sort of confirm that.
Really?
I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
See them around town and try to keep track of her mental state by, you know.
Have you been to see Oprah yet?
I haven't, actually.
No.
No. Wow. Oprah is a hard get. And, you know, people ask me that all the time. And I say, it's not that I'm not interested. It's just that I don't have, you know, the tenacity. Because I think what you have to do is you literally have to call in and write a lot. And to sort of wait for a long time. Because I think right now the wait for Oprah is about a year.
Yeah.
I saw Jerry Springer once, actually, when I was in college. And, yeah, surprisingly, the wait for that was not as, you know, was not nearly as long as
Oprah. I always tell people, Oprah is like the Bozo Circus used to be in Chicago. You used to have, you know, your parents used to put in for Bozo the Circus tickets when you were first born. And you get there with your kids when they're 3 years old. That's how bad the waiting list used to be for Bozo Circus.
If I had known that, I would have, you know, put in for tickets like 12 years ago when I got here. And most likely, I would have been able to go see her like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Now, what do you think?
And it would have been well worth it.
Now, what do you think of the all the various TV shows coming to an end?
I'm sad because I don't have much of a social life. Like, all I do is, like, I go to work, I come home, I watch television, and I like to think, like, I like to tell people, or tell myself rather, that me watching all this television is like research. You know, it's research for the writing that I do, both, you know, for myself and also for Pop Culture Junkies. But of course, like, you know, generally, like, you know, the amount of television that, you know, I watch is sort of like inversely proportionate to how the output that I actually, you know, produce. I just watched the season finale of Veronica Mars, and I don't know for any Veronica Mars fans that are listening right now, if you, Sean, watched the show yourself, it was just amazing, like even better than last season's finale. And
really?
I can't believe that it's over for the summer and I won't be able to get, you know, like, that I'll have to wait until fall, you know, like September, October for the show to come back to the air. I'm also a longtime fan of The West Wing, and that show is, like, you know, ending for good next Sunday. So Sunday night I'll be sitting on my couch, like, crying, you know, not only because it's the end of, like, a really great show that I know is in love with, you know, with terrific writing, but, you know, just, like, the constant sort of presence of, you know, I guess a Democratic president on television, even a fictional one, was something, you know, in which I found a lot of solace considering, you know, the present administration.
Well,
so.
Poor Leo, you know, died on the show, and they had the funeral, what, last week, I guess it was?
That was pretty recent. And, yeah, it was really sort of, they didn't actually spend a lot of time in the episode on the funeral, but it was nice to see a lot of characters that had long since left the show and sort of come back to reprise their role, so all sort of sitting there, and they had a good cry, I had a good cry.
Now, has Jimmy Smith's character picked a vice president yet?
He has. I think that in this particular week, in this week's episode or last week's episode, he mentioned that he had a candidate, but I don't think that we've actually met the guy that he he chose as his vice president. It's not a character that we've met yet on the show.
Oh, really? I thought for sure it was going to be Alan Alda's character. He had like a fusion.
As was I. And, you know, NBC, I think, did a pretty decent job of giving us, you know, giving viewers that impression in the trailers. You know, in the teases and episodes leading up to that. But what he ended up actually doing with Alan Alda's character, who was the Republican candidate for the presidency, was he offered him Secretary of State. Alan Alda, which the senator ended up accepting after all.
Well, he should have made him vice president. I think that would have been a cool way to, you know, say we can get along. You know what I mean? You know.
Exactly. Like, in a spirit of bipartisanship, like, you know, let's, you know, sort of try to put aside, like, you know, any sort of, you know, party, I guess, like, ideology and differences, like, you know, just history and, like, you know, sort of focus on working on issues in the present and sort of building, like, you know, a viable future.
Yeah, yeah.
For this country. But, of course, you know, that's never going to happen because it's, I want to say it's never, well, I don't want to say it, but I guess I have to say it's never going to happen because it's TV. And TV, like, you know, has a tendency to just sort of, you know, it being fictional will sort of idealize. Like, you know, you can sort of write whatever you want to write. And, you know, it'll get on the air, and certainly there. Certainly, when you're talking about when you're writing about politics, you want to maintain, like, you know, some bits of reality. You don't want it to be completely unbelievable. But
true. Now, what about the Will and Grace? Now they're ending what tonight, right? No.
Not tonight. Actually, I was looking that up because, to be honest, I haven't watched Will and Grace in years. Like, I'll pick it up, and I find that, like, you know, I can be away from the show for like a few months. Like anywhere up to a year, watch a new episode and not really have, and I never feel like I really missed a lot, which is probably, I think, a good thing for the show, especially for a show that's, like, you know, been in syndication for a really long time.
Yeah, they're
that
ending.
Show, I think, is ending May 18th, so we've got a few more weeks to sort of get in there and, you know, watch their last couple of episodes.
And then Seventh Heaven's going
Seventh
off the
Heaven
air.
Seventh Heaven was last night. I have to confess that. Yeah, I was a big Seventh Heaven junkie, sort of like in secret, something I didn't really tell too many of my friends about because they have enough cause to mock me for the things that I do admit to watching. So Seventh Heaven had to be sort of like my dirty little secret because, I mean, there weren't a lot of things that I could do to defend it. Like, it wasn't well written. The actors weren't very good. I mean, it's produced by Aaron Spelling. And so to see that sort of come to a close, I mean, I was sitting there last night and just sort of, like, ultimately, like, sort of crying and gagging at the same time. Like, oh, like, everybody's pregnant. Isn't that wonderful? And then that's it. And I just thought, okay, well, I guess that's the way these things have to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, after a while there, the show started turning to, like, Eight is Enough or something like that. It's just you know, kept bringing in these people living, like, in the house and everything. It's like, ugh.
Exactly. And it also felt like, you know, after a while, like, there are certain phases where, like, every episode was like, a very special episode of Seventh Heaven. You know, like, in very, like, you know, very important. Like, this week, we're talking about racism. This week, we're talking about drugs. And I'd sit there and say, okay, well, you know, the show's not really known for its subtlety. You know, I accepted that as part of the premise when I started watching it. But sometimes, like, you know, I think of myself as a pretty smart person. So when they sort of do, like, they're really obvious, like, we're going to talk about this, I feel sort of insulted. Like, come on, you guys, I've been watching this for more years than I care to confess to.
Yeah.
I sort of know what you're going to talk about, so there's no need to, like, sort of bring on the gloom and doom, because I already knew, like, even before the episode started, that this was all going to be about, like, you know, teen pregnancy or whatever.
Well, and then they're talking about the Gilmore Girls, how it's kind of, you know, limping towards its season finale too. Do you watch that as well?
Yeah, because the writers didn't renew their contracts for next season. Next season is, I think, is sort of the last season of the contract that the network has, I think, with, like, the production company or with the actors. At least everyone's saying that next year is the last year for the Gilmore Girls as well. And
really?
I've never, I haven't watched that in a while, but I do have a couple of close friends who, you know, really love it, you know, watch it with, like, their moms and stuff, and so I'm imagining they're probably going to be pretty devastated about this time next year.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know that. The house that they use as the bed and breakfast on the Gilmore Girls used to be the Waltons' house.
Really?
Yeah.
That looks familiar.
That's a little bit of trivia. I'm surprised one of the Waltons didn't show up yet.
John Boy, I haven't thought about him in years.
Yeah, last time I saw John Boy was on that Singular commercial, and they're saying goodnight, John Boy. They're all saying goodnight on their damn cell phones. You see that commercial? It's pretty funny. They're playing the Waltons' theme while they're, you know, clicking the cell phone saying goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the actor, but I would think that I would get pretty sick of being called John Boy. It's been, what, like 30 years or so?
He'll always be known as
John.
What's his name? Michael Learned.
Richard Thomas. That was
that's his name.
Yeah. He better be getting some sort of royalty every time, anytime anybody says John Boy.
Yeah,
because I don't know that there's anyone in America, North America, or even all around the world who hears John Boy and doesn't immediately think of the Waltons.
Yeah, and of course we got the big news. I think was it today? I think it was somebody talking about the Facts of Life cast reunion. I must have missed
what?
That. Yeah, they apparently was on the Today program.
Oh my gosh, I totally missed that. Well, see, yeah, the Today show. I think I just generally don't skip because when I wake up in the morning, I'm usually running pretty late for work, so I don't have to. Unfortunately, I don't have as much time as I would like to be able to sit and like watch those programs, which is. Now it's making me think that, you know, if I'm missing news like that, then maybe I should start, like, you know, doing it or something.
I'm sure they'll send the...
Oh, my gosh. Will it involve Nancy McKeon? Because I know that Lifetime, and I can't believe I'm actually admitting that I saw this, Lifetime or another sort of basic cable channel did a Facts of Life reunion a few years ago that included all of the original cast except for Nancy McKeon.
Uh-oh. Well, maybe she was off doing some movie or something.
Exactly. Like, you know, she's all important now. Like, you know, or maybe it was, you know, a contract issue. They couldn't meet whatever exorbitant price she was demanding. Yeah. They pay for her to reprise the role of Joe.
Oh, please. Well, it's like the...
Bronx girl with the heart of gold.
Yeah. It's like I was reading about the Dynasty reunion they did last week on CBS, although the show aired on ABC. Apparently, Jeff James, who played Jeff, and Dion Carroll, they didn't want to come back for the, you know, low amount of money that they were offering. But the other ones, you know, apparently needed the money, so they all came back, you know. But what's the other reunion show that they're airing? Oh, and then the Knott's Landing and something else.
Then there's the Dallas movie that's supposedly going to production this year.
How about that? You got the what do you call it? You got the
Jennifer Lopez,
John Travolta,
Sue Ellen, I think.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm really excited about that actually. Although I mean I don't know. I think that like the big screen. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of remakes of, you know, television shows that we've all sort of grown up with and grown to love can be sort of hit and miss. Because, I mean, there was the Dukes of Hazzard last year, which
I
have to confess, I did not see it, but it was just so awful.
Yeah. Well, out here in Vegas, actually, the General Lee makes a guest appearance every night on a show out here called Buck Wild. It's a stage show at the Sahara Hotel, oddly. And then the general, he drives up on the stage. And I understand people I know work there. The crowd goes nuts in that car, hits the stage, you know.
You know, it'd be really great if they could like let people like drive generally. Because I would actually, and like being a New Yorker, like, you know, natively, I don't drive at all.
Oh.
I've never driven a car. Like, well, that's not true. I've driven a car exactly like 3 times in my life. But if they, you know, were giving, you know, if the Sahara were giving, you know, people the opportunity to drive the general, if only around like a little circle or something, I would totally get my license for that.
Yeah, they should charge people $10 for a circle around the lot or something like that.
Totally.
And be able to honk the horn. I don't think I'd be able to fit through the door, though.
For me, because, you know, I'm not the most graceful of people, so they can get some sort of like human shoehorn to sort of like slide me in there.
I always wonder how they got Uncle Jesse in and out of that damn car. He was so fat on the
show. I'm sure that they had a way, but they wouldn't want to show it because that would just be kind of frightening. Because as I recall, Uncle Jesse was a pretty big guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then they have the latest news about the Knight Rider movie is going to be made, but with minus David Hasselhoff.
See, how can you do that? I mean, Knight Rider is not Knight Rider without David Hasselhoff. I mean, it would be cool if, like, whoever they ended up casting would be sort of like a guy, like a known actor playing David Hasselhoff, playing the role.
Well, I have an announcement. I'm going to be playing Michael Knight.
Congratulations!
I tried for that role.
That's so great.
So damn hard. I'm glad it was that or being in the episode 328 of Battlestar Galactica being killed off. So I'd rather be on Knight Rider playing Michael Knight. What do you think about that?
I'd only see if you drive the car. That sassy car with a mind of its own.
Yeah. Now, do you watch Battlestar Galactica?
I don't, actually.
No?
My
Lord.
And I know that my brother, who watches it, is like continually, I think he emails me at least once a day to tell me to watch it.
Yeah, it's a good series.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of the cast members on the program here, you know, so it's really quite a following. You should take a chance on it.
Yeah, I totally will. That's, again, one of those things. The thing about watching as much television as I do is that it's ironic that I actually don't have, you know, I don't have TiVo or, like, any sort of DVR, so... Mm. But, you know, at the beginning of, you know, in the fall, like the beginning of sort of like the broadcast, like television season, I sort of have to pick and choose. Like, okay, Wednesday is a tough night. Like, okay, I can only, like, you know, watch this show and sort of give up on this or sort of call up people that I know and say, okay, well, I'm watching Veronica Mars. Can you watch Lost and tell me what happened? Or can you record it and then I'll come over to your house tomorrow? You know, that. And I suppose that, you know, I could sort of maybe solve that problem by, you know, getting another TV and getting a TiVo, but... you know, that just feels like cheating somehow. And then there's all that television I have to catch up on. So I think Battlestar Galactica is one of those shows which, much like Lost and some other shows from this past year, is going to have to be my summer viewing. Like, yeah. I miss it through over the, like, you know, over the regular season. I'll catch up during summer reruns. So hopefully by the time, like, fall starts up again, I will, you know, sort of be caught up as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, yeah, it's an amazing program. And then what's the other remake they're making now, too? I forgot, and I lost it now. The screen's blinking in front of me. And they had, now we only got a minute left now, but what the Mission Impossible movie, not drawing as many box office.
Yeah,
how
I
about
mean,
$48 that?
Million, dollars, when you see that number, I mean, sort of divorce of context, to me, you know, that seems like a lot of money. But I guess that, like, you know, for Mission Impossible 4, the third segment of what I would have guessed would be a highly anticipated franchise starring everybody's sort of like favorite wacky Scientologist, that, you know, it would have sort of met the expectations, because I think the studio was anticipating somewhere between $60 to $70 million for opening weekend, which is, like, you know, which is pretty good for late spring, sort of going into early summer. The fact that it sort of fell, what, like, I guess like 20% short of that particular goal,
yeah.
I think it's got to be pretty, you know, pretty, I don't want to say humiliating, but I'm sure that, like, you know, I feel that, you know, had the opening numbers been a little bit better, then Tom Cruise would have, you know, we probably would have made him feel a little more vindicated. Like, you know, he hasn't done all this ranting and jumping up and down on couches, sort of like defending, like, you know, sort of his behavior. Would have been at least vindicated by the fact that, well, you know, I may be kind of crazy, but people are still paying to see my movies. Now, $48 million, nothing to sneeze at.
Mm.
But considering the expectations and considering, like, you know, I think the previous performances of the first two Mission Impossible movies, he's got to be a little disappointed. At the same time, I'm sure he's like, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I've got, he's got so much stuff going on in his personal life. But then that $48 million, that's like, what, a little bit short of what I think Katie's or Kate Cruz's, whatchamacallit, oh gosh, like, divorce settlement, if they were going to split up, like, this is what she would get. I think her, all things settled, like, you know, if they were to ever split up, she'd end up getting something like $55 million.
Yeah, they said that if he immediately set up a trust fund for like $13 million, and if they divorce, I forget, she get in there $38 million, whatever it is. So,
exactly.
You know, she's made more in, you know, 9 months than that movie's made in a weekend, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Jasmine, we'll let you go. Well, thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem. We'll have you back.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Jasmine from PopCultureJunkies.com. Very, very enlightening. It's almost an all-women hour here in the program. Very good. It freshened things up a little bit. You know, all the guys are all cool and everything, but it was nice to have her on, talk about everything that's going on and everything. And like I said, yes, they're going to have the Knight Rider movie is going to be made. And I saw something else. Reba, looks like Reba's not going to make it in another season on the CW. Of course, it's going to be the UPN and WB merger. What else? Ricky Lake is returning to TV to host a CBS game show, so she's still around. And also says that The Apprentice could be canceled. So it's like there's some problems with The Apprentice, so we'll see if they cancel that. I like to see that The Apprentice move over to CNBC or something like that. That'd be fit right over with them. I think it'd be a good addition to CNBC. And what else do we have here? Victor Garber from Alias already has a new TV gig lined up for next season. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going through my notes. Also, the actor who plays Doctor Who right now, apparently he's going to be in the remake of a show called Prisoner, and he's going to be will star as number 6 in a television remake of the cult favorite series The Prisoner. 1967 series starred Patrick McGoohan as a former secret agent who was kidnapped and imprisoned in a mystery village. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I thought he did an outstanding job as Doctor Who. And what else is going on? Pop culture, bring him Koenig on. And Let me see. Quentin Tarantino, he's in here doing something. What else? I know I'm skipping around here. Blah, blah, blah. Ah. And then I enjoyed the episode completely. And I say we're going to bring Koenig's going to do a little different version of the spoilers. It's called a boiler. So we'll see how that goes. And then I also have the, I don't know if the Centurion got the we'll play that when he comes on in a little bit. I have the scoop of the music from the new Caprica series there. That's going to be, we'll show that, we'll play it when Koenig comes on. So I think right now we'll bring on Koenig. And we'll,
Uh-oh.
Are you there? Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
how you doing?
I'm
not the usual Doctor Who entrance.
The new series.
I'm sorry.
You're confusing me.
You're not a mind reader?
BSD, oh, okay. And then you go with...
I'm going to get you get a new toaster. I'm kidding.
That's great.
I'm confusing the Centurion. There he is. I'm confusing the Centurion. Where's the TARDIS? At least we can get the TARDIS. We get the TARDIS? Oh, we're overworking the Centurion. This is a Series 5 model we're working on here. What did you think of it, Doctor Who? I thought it was outstanding last week.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it completely. There it is. There he comes. Oh, well, we'll stick you back under the TARDIS. Come back in a minute. There you go. There he is.
Yeah.
There's the TARDIS. Oh, well. There you go. Emerging from the TARDIS again. It's only been a minute. Koenig Rules, welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
There you go. This is our newly fangled boiler segment, right?
Right.
Where it's not going to be full-fledged spoilers. It's
that's
been,
right.
Like hints of things to come, right? Because we've both gotten bashed pretty good.
That's right. Well, we try to satisfy all parties.
Yes.
Right?
Now, you get come up with some kind of a plan. What are you going to do now? Are you going to reveal?
I'm going to mention very, very general things that typically are reported on boards, and then I'll be indicating on password-protected spoiler forums more specifics.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Now, I liked The Empty Child. I thought it was very good,
mm-hmm.
Doctor Who. And also we got the ratings for Father's Day. Father's Day did a 1.14, so it's gone down a little bit, but it's holding on to its audience, though. So.
Yeah, I think that's probably about what you're going to get for Doctor Who now. I've noticed they haven't been advertising at the end of the last two episodes,
mm-hmm.
the coming attractions for the next week.
Yeah, I know that, noticed that as well. I wonder what's going on here.
I don't know.
How come they're not? I mean, could they possibly yank the show before it airs or what?
I don't think so. I think they've worked out a deal with the BBC so that it's not as expensive as people might think. But I am a little bit disappointed that they haven't done this good a promoting job for Doctor Who as they have with Stargate or with Battlestar, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, Morovian is asking how come why I care so much about the ratings. Well, if the ratings drop to a point so low, Sci-Fi won't bring the show back, you know. Why advertise a show that's not getting ratings, you know?
Right. I think right now Doctor Who is doing about comparable to what John Doe is doing before the Stargate series, the canceled Fox series that they put in the time slot right before Sci-Fi Friday. So it's doing about on par with that, which is a little bit disappointing when you think about it. But I think it's got its core base. So, but yeah, but I love the show. How about the transformation of the characters into the gas mask type of mummy type of character?
Yeah, that doctor, all of a sudden he goes, all of a sudden the thing comes out of his face. I mean, that was pretty cool, the mask and the doctor with the screwdriver, and he goes, these masks, like they're welded, melded to their faces and everything.
Yep,
and then I like how they did the lighting of the series of the episode when they're in the rooms. It's like a 1940s type of a look with the yellow glow and everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they went to that house with that girl serving those kids the food from that family that went into the bunker.
That's right.
And then the doctor shows up, and then what about the scoop I had earlier, the spoiler? I gave away a Doctor Who spoiler about the Eccleston's going to be in the Prisoner remake.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
A 6-part series for Sky One, not the BBC, but Sky One.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be great in it. So I just think the whole thing really worked. In fact, I think this was probably the scariest two-parter of the entire season.
Yeah, I was quivering when I was watching this. And then they had the TARDIS was chasing this cylinder through the time vortex and then turn up in London circa 1941,
mm-hmm.
The Blitz. And, of course, Rose goes after that kid with the mask on and gets tangled up with the blimp. Right. And then that's where Jack Harkness makes his first appearance.
Right? Captain Jack.
Yeah, he sees her in the with the binoculars, and he goes, "Oh, it's somebody like I always like a nice bottom." And he told the guy, and the guy turns around, "Not now. There's always a time and a place for that stuff later." So they hint at his bisexuality.
Oh yeah, he even kisses the doctor. Whoops.
Ooh.
Yes, he does.
Spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
He kisses Doctor Who?
Yes, he kisses Doctor Who.
Do I got to start, like, a 7-second delay here with you?
Does he slip him the tongue, too?
I got John. The BBC's going to be all after you now.
Does he French kiss him or what? Here,
No.
What kind of journalist are you? You're supposed to get to the bottom of these things for us.
it's not anything like that. It's actually a happy type of kiss that you're alive, you know.
Uh-oh, it's our sensor. That's the NSA. That's the Moors tapping in here. Ron Moore, we're not giving BSG spoilers. It's Doctor Who spoilers. Leave
That's
us alone.
Right. They had something on Sci-Fi this week, which was... They had something on Sci-Fi Wire this week about the Cybermen.
By the Spider-Man?
Cybermen.
Oh, Cybermen.
In season 2.
Uh-oh.
And they realized that spoilers were leaking out. So the producer figured, as long as spoilers are leaking out, we should circulate a really nice picture of the Cybermen.
Why not?
So I mean, you know, there's some that realize, spoilers are going to leak out, so we may as well give the audience a little bit of what they want.
I thought the effects were amazing on this show, where they show her in the blimp, and then the fighters.
Yeah, the ship,
No. But when she's
Big Ben.
Yeah, we know when she's dangling from the rope by the rope. The planes. I mean, the effects are just incredible.
We'll see Hitler in one. Huh?
And then the whole thing with the tractor beam and all that. The effects were just unbelievable. There you go. And then the ship. I mean, the ship's wired. Of course, she burned her hands, and they had the whole thing where he healed her hands with the technology. Now, what is he? He's a time. What is he? Time agent. Time. What is he?
He's more like a time scoundrel.
He says he's a con man, and
he's
a freelancer like Doctor Who.
And time to make a profit.
And how about in the hospital where she calls the doctor Mr. Spock?
Yes.
By the way,
is that the same Spock that's in the chat room?
I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. Now, please, Sean, it's ear splitting. Oh, everybody's going to complain about this. It's ear splitting. I thought it was amazing. He called her. She called him Mr. Spock, and then she's flirting with him by the Big Ben and all that. And then the ship looks.
This is a two-parter, right?
Yeah, it's a two-parter.
Yeah,
they need to kind of. They need to
slow it down. They're moving pretty fast, aren't they?
Yeah,
no, they need to.
In the ninth episode or something.
Well, they need to mention that.
Sci-Fi didn't air the coming attractions. No, they didn't have the to be continued. Where
was
that,
right.
Koenig? Did Sci-Fi cut that out?
Yeah, they have. But the 10th episode resolves this.
Oh, hello.
Then they have an 11th standalone episode, then a two-part finale.
Really?
Yep.
Two-part finale. And
with the Daleks.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The Dalek. Uh-oh.
What the heck?
Yeah, pity. Oh, the chat room's going berserk.
Are they liking this or no?
I don't think so. Actually, I have an exclusive. I have the opening theme for the new Caprica series. Hold on. I got the opening theme from the Caprica series. That's not that. From the, I got the special file from Sci-Fi. Let's see. Got the new opening theme for Caprica. Of course, it'll be a story of two families of feuding. So where's this opening theme? The Centurion.
Oh, that was it?
There
it
is. There it is. There it is. That's the opening theme for Caprica. What do you think of that? All right. Yeah, well, that's the opening theme. Oh, we can turn down Dallas. There you go.
That's the Cylon. Give it
there you go. There you go. The Daleks invading the Dallas theme song. Oh, I thought I could swore it was the official Caprica theme. I was misled. It was a false spoiler I got from Sci-Fi. I could have sworn it was the... All right. Yeah, but... great coupons looking for Tylenol. They're all bailing out of the
great
chat room.
Great coupons look for Tylenol.
Yeah. And that's the... those of you who don't know, that's the Dallas theme. And
right.
Supposedly Caprica is going to be a story of two families, a family drama. So I went on that for the Dallas. The Dallas is also about two families, the Ewings and the Barneses. So that's why I went up with that. So
no Cylons.
No, not that we know of. I don't know. I think Jock was a Cylon. Or Miss Ellie. She looks suspicious.
French.
Uh-oh. That was President Bush.
Impeachment French.
What is he talking about?
Impeachment French.
Yeah, you can't believe that's the President of the United States. Can you believe that?
Impeachment French.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe we elected him twice. Anyway, and then, I forgot to mention my Aaron Douglas encounter this weekend. I forgot.
Yeah, you touched him where?
I touched him. I actually touched Aaron Douglas in his private place. No.
And you didn't wash your hands for 5 or 4 days.
I shook his hand. He was coming through the lobby at the hotel with his girlfriend, a very attractive girlfriend, and I shook his hand. I said, he's coming. I go, Aaron Douglas. He jumped about 10 feet. I had a line. I really couldn't talk to him very much, so I shook his hand. He went on, and he was over at the Antiquities signing autographs here with Brian Ike, who is the brother of David Ike. Yeah, he runs BSGAutographs.com, and he runs Iconographs, and they have they brought in the guy who was in the costume. He bought the he was in the Jabba the Hutt costume. And he also brought in a guy who was in the Boba Fett costume. So, and that was pretty nice. I didn't think anything the crowd would care who was in those costumes, but they were there, and it was nice.
Cool.
Brian Ike is really David Ike's brother, so all that memorabilia on that bsgautographs.com is authentic. So. So anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that, but somebody hit me with an instant message. I want me to tell everybody about that. And you said he's coming to Chicago this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's coming to a con. I don't think it's necessarily a Battlestar Galactica con, but it's sort of like in Downers Grove.
Oh.
And that's closer to my neck of the woods, and I'm trying to at least maybe touch base with him, have dinner with him one night, because I said I owed him a round of drinks.
Oh, at least, well, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to come face to face. I'm glad I finally.
I know. I'm Coney Gross. Oh, okay.
I was able to shake his hand.
Said, "You're Sean."
He jumped about 10 feet. I don't think he wanted to be recognized. And I saw a crucifix come out, so. I know he didn't want to come near me. But anyway, I'm going to get back to the episode because I always get beat up for not talking about the Doctor Who very, very much. And what else? I was cool. I thought it was like how Jack and Rose were on top of the ship, the invisible ship by Big Ben. And what time is it? And he clicked the little thing and the Big Ben lit up. I thought that was nice. I mean, the effects are just incredible. You know?
I know. Nothing like the old show.
No. The old show is like,
it's dated.
Horrible. But, a lot of people like the old
thing. Yeah.
And then it says the doctor discovers a mysterious plague and is stricken residents of the community. He talks to that old doctor in the hospital, how he was a father and a grandfather. Now he's got nothing. All he has are those kids, and he turned into one of those creatures.
Right.
Night
of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
With kids.
Yeah.
Are you my mummy?
Yeah. Are you my mummy?
No, then, no mummies here.
Yeah.
Just chickens.
And then at the end, the child's going after that girl because she's underneath the table and the apple rolls out, whatever it is, and he's about ready to destroy her or whatever, because if you touch him, you turn into him. Is that the thing?
Yep.
Really? And after that, and then the doctor and Rose and Jack are surrounded as well.
Surrounded.
Yeah.
How are they going to get out?
Yeah. I mean, it's good with the suspense, you know. Also, of course, Sci-Fi, dropped the to be continued, but all of a sudden it just...
I know.
Zzz, rah, 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 you know, and I'm like, wow, that's the cliffhanger.
I think I noticed maybe something that some people sometimes might not follow the program that easily. It seems like the editing of the show...
That's Sci-Fi.
I think it's just the difference between, like, Battlestar. It's got a nice flow to it.
Yeah.
This series, as far as Doctor Who, since it's done by
British,
mm-hmm. the flow is there, but it seems like it jumps around sometimes, and it's kind of sometimes, it's not hard to follow, but it's just different format.
Well, sci-fi has to edit the program down. It loses like 6 minutes.
Yeah, it loses about two minutes.
Yeah, because the show's longer in the UK than it is here in the United States. They edit it down.
But it is still a fast patient.
Oh, it's unbelievable how fast that show
is. No doubt about it. Battlestar, it's sort of like it moves sometimes.
Yeah.
The guilty of moving slow.
Well,
this is like going 180 miles per hour, like that opening where they're tracking that Shula ship through space.
Yeah,
I mean, it's sort of like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was first shown. I mean, it's cast in that fast-paced type of action.
True. So. Now, a lot of people are asking, where are your boilers? So
okay,
get boilers.
Boilers. Number one, Chief Tyro and Colonel Ty have much meatier roles in this the beginning episode, so they're going to be on for much longer periods of time. So it's sort of like what happened at the beginning of season two when Adama was incapacitated and he didn't know whether he was going to live or die. So the secondary characters played more prominent roles. So that's exactly what Chief Tyro and Colonel Ty are going to be doing. And I'll talk about more specifics in the spoiler protected forum. So that's one thing. You wanted to know about titles of episodes. Gate Road has announced that the fourth episode is entitled Collaborators, and in that one, something major happens to one of the collaborators.
Wow, that's major.
I can't tell what it is, otherwise they're going to tell you soft pedal it, right?
Yeah. So what else? Anything else?
There is an animal on New Caprica.
Uh-oh.
There is an animal. Whether this animal figures prominently into the plot or not still has yet to be determined, but there is an animal.
Is it the
New
bird? Because Yuri said that Ty has his eye gouged out, so that'd be the parrot. Polly wants a cracker?
It's not
Cylon
not a scare,
parrot?
No.
And, Viper Fred says, spoiler, Kara Thrace is a slut. Is that?
But remember, she's being brainwashed. So if
she's
brainwashed. A slut, she's a brainwashed.
Yeah, she's
slut,
like the Patty Hearst of Battlestar Galactica.
Right. But there's some that thought that whole thing with the child and everything, well, you know, maybe these are just fake spoilers being released. But that is supposed to occur in episode 301, which is already finished filming. So.
What about other boilers?
Other boilers. Well, as far as the Caprica series goes, a lot of the actors didn't know about this show at all, so everything was being played close to the chest.
Uh-oh, that's the Caprica boilers. Has Larry Hagman signed on for the series?
What is that?
Has Larry Hagman
Larry
signed
Hagman,
on?
Good God, yeah. But there's been some talk that they could get the show rolling by October, and that's just not true. I mean, the earliest, if it's green-lighted, the earliest they can start production is August.
Really?
And what my source has been saying, it's more like early 2007 is what they heard to start production with Caprica. So my guess is they're not going to be moving that rapidly to move out both Caprica and season 3 of Galactica at the same time. In fact, I hope they don't do that because I really want them to be focusing more on season 3 of Galactica.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, well, you say if they pick up the series, hasn't the series already been picked up? Or
word has it that it will be a series. It's not going to be a mini-series. It's going to be a full-fledged series to accompany Battlestar Galactica. So I've never, at least my source indicated that, It's never a question of, it's a special or something like that. It's going to be a full-fledged series. Which is okay.
Yeah,
but
it's
going to
be like
a soap.
I'm sure
you've heard the latest that Stargate They're planning a third series
to
run simultaneously with SG-1 and Atlantis, as well as they're planning to do a feature film for Stargate. So I couldn't believe this as I was reading this information that it seems like Stargate's going to be around for a while.
What is it going to be, Stargate Survivor or what? They're going to put them on an island?
Well, my guess is they're going to have to branch out and come up with two sci-fi nights.
Because they have to.
If they're going to have Caprica with Galactica, if they're going to have Atlantis with SG-1, and they said, oh, there's room for a third series, I know. It's sort of like, I can't believe this. I thought they nearly, but it's making a profit.
I guess it's making
a profit internationally. It's
and a movie?
Really well.
And a theatrical movie or a sci-fi channel
theatrical movie?
Oh, you're kidding.
Theatrical movie that sort of ties in the SG-1 and even some elements of Atlantis.
Is Richard Dean Anderson going to be in the flick? I would imagine.
The thing is, he's coming back this season for the 200th episode of SG-1. Plus, he's going to be in a couple episodes of Atlantis.
What?
So it looks like he's signing on to do a lot of Stargate.
How are they going to get him to Atlantis?
Atlantis. What they've done now is they've destroyed some of the premise of Atlantis. They have contact with Earth, and they have these ships now that can travel back and forth from Atlantis to Earth. I know that's one of the things that they've sort of changed in that show. So Richard Dean Anderson, no doubt, will either be heading toward Atlantis or they'll be going back to Earth. But they've made a couple jumps to and from Earth already.
That's unbelievable.
So it just doesn't have the feel, you know, of the show. I really liked the show the first season.
I hope sci-fi, you know, they don't get tied up with all this business, that they don't pick up Torchwood and then the second season of Doctor Who, because Torchwood's got a feeling to me like a Firefly type of a show. I feel like
right.
is what we're gonna get. You
right.
know? And
well, like I said, to accommodate all this type of programming, they're going to have to do more than one night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would hope maybe either a Friday and a Sunday if they want to leave the Ghost Hunters or whatever crap they have on Wednesday, or a Thursday or a Friday or a Monday and a Friday, but they're going to have to do something.
Yeah. Oh, a question from the chat room. Can the BBC be sued for using the name Mr. Spock? Oh, I didn't think about that. Can they be
But I don't think so. It's in the public domain, isn't it, after so many years? So, I mean, that was in the 60s.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the character names themselves are in the public domain now, so probably they won't get sued.
Yeah, I don't see that either. Now, this Caprica thing, the premise bothers me. You know, it's 50 years in the past, and it's, you know, they say it's going to be like a soap. You know.
Well, I guess the qualifier here is that Ike wanted to do something of a soap, but then when they brought on this Renee guy from Deep Space Nine, he wanted to do more sci-fi element, and so it might be soapish, but what intrigues me is if they focus on the Cylons, the rise of the Cylons, and the origins of the Cylons, I think it would be a pretty cool show.
Well, I just think it's odd. I mean, you think you want a spinoff to be on so you can do crossovers with the current characters, you know what I mean? You know,
right.
If the ratings fall, you can send them over and spike the, you know, send almost over there.
My guess is they don't want to do exactly the same thing that Stargate's doing.
No.
Because then what happens is, as you have characters crossing over, see, the very thing that's what's happening to SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis now, which is really ruining, I think, both shows, might possibly happen to Galactica. So I have a feeling they want to make this show a little bit independent of the other show. I mean, you know what's exactly going to happen. Maybe. But they could pull in a couple surprises.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I've had people say, why don't they take the Celestra from the fleet and send that out into its own series? Because the Celestra is like the advanced science ship. It's got all the advanced technology and everything. They can make that like a Star Trek type episode. It's, you know, it's a single ship. You know?
Well, maybe that'll be a third series, huh?
Oh. I should patent some of these ideas, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
The first one's getting Larry Hagman on this Kaepernick.
I heard you're going to play the 12th Doctor.
Said JR, right? You'd be playing RJ.
Are you going to play the 12th Doctor in Doctor Who?
Doctor. Well, no, I got a spoiler. I'm going to be in episode 328 of this episode of the season of Galactica. I'll be Starbucks' new lover on the show.
Well, watch out for diseases.
Oh, you're talking about the character, right?
Yes.
Oh. But, yeah, in episode 328, I'll be guest starring role.
Or maybe you can play that animal on New Caprica.
Yeah. What, it'll be a Muffet, you know? It'll be a Daggett?
It's not a Daggett, sorry.
Yeah, but when they bring that damn thing back, they got to bring something from the old show back, I'm telling you.
Well, the big question is with Caprica, are the Cylons, when they first come out, are they going to resemble in any way, shape, or form the old Cylons?
They should.
Original series.
Morovian is asking, how could Celestra possibly support a series? You know what? We haven't really seen a close-up of the Celestra, but from the sci-fi bit there, you know, it's got all the scientists are at, it's got all the event, you know, they could...